Jaya Kunyabiyari Jaya Randamadava Jaya Kunyabiyari Vichana Pallabha Divine Grace, Abhaya Chantanada Bhaktivedanta, Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anandakoti, Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Ramse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sidhwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhigaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shishi Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavan Gijaya Maturam Gijaya Jagannatha Swami Gijaya Yamunamai Gijaya Srimati Glasadeva Gijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. So we're going to continue with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I know today is Shivaratri, and we did give a class on Lord Shiva's pastimes and ontological position this morning. And so if any of you are interested in that, you can look it up on YouTube. And we're not going to be speaking about that tonight. We'll be speaking about Shiva and Lord Shiva's position on Sunday, which is Monday for some of you, and Sunday for others, for the Sunday evening program. which is Monday morning for those in the South Pacific area. Okay, so without further ado, Om Ganati Madanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshun and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shikadve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, on that happy note, let us go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're going to talk about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's early pastimes in this particular chapter, chapter 13. And we are already up to text 31 in chapter 13. That is pretty good. We're making very quick progress. Okay, just give me 1 second to get everything set up so I can be alerted if anything happens. Right, there we go. Kishara vayase arambila sankirtana ratradine parimenucha sangivata gana. Just prior to his youthful life, he began the sankirtan movement. Day and night, he used to dance in ecstasy with his devotees. Nagare nagare varame kirtana kariya vashaila tribhuvana prema bhakti diya. The Sankirtan movement went on from one part of the town to another as the Lord wandered everywhere performing kirtan. In this way, he inundated the whole world by distributing love of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada comments, the one may raise the question how all the three worlds became inundated with love of Krishna, since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan only in the Navadvipa area. The answer is that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. The entire cosmic manifestation results from the Lord's first setting it in motion. Similarly, since the Sankirtan movement was first set in motion 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that it spread all over the universe, the Krishna consciousness movement and continuity of that same motion is now spreading all over the world, and in this way it will gradually spread all over the universe. With the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement, everyone will merge in an ocean of love of Krishna. So the point Prabhupada is making is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set in motion the mechanism, the spiritual mechanism by which Krishna consciousness would go everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada revved up that machine and got it going. Chabisha vatsara iche navadvipa grame loyayaila sarvaloke krishna prema name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in the Navadvipa area for 24 years, and he induced every person to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and thus merge in love of Krishna. Chabisha vatsara chila kriya sanyasa bhaktagana lanya kaila nilachala yavasa. For his remaining 24 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after accepting the renounced order of life, stayed at Jagannath Puri with his devotees. Taramadye nilachale Chaya Vatsara Ridhacha Gita Prema Bhakti Dana Nirantara. For 6 of these 24 years in Nilachala Jagannath Puri, he distributed love of God by always chanting and dancing. Setu Bandhara Gaura Vyapi Vrindhavana Prema Nama Pracharya Korila Brahmana. Beginning from Cape Comorin and extending through Bengal to Vrindavana, during these 6 years he toured all over India, chanting, dancing, and distributing love of Krishna. Emajalila Nama Lila Mukya Dham Shesha Ashtadhasa Varsha Ancha Lila Nama. The activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his travels after he accepted sannyas are his principal pastimes. His activities during his remaining 18 years are called the Ancha Lila, or the final portion of his pastimes. Tadamant Jichaya Vatsara Vaktagana Sange Prema Bhakti Oyaila Richa Gita Range. For 6 of the 18 years he continuously stayed in Jagannath Puri. He regularly performed kirtan, inducing all the devotees to love Krishna simply by chanting and dancing. Vatsara Sesha Rahila Nila Chale Premavasta Shikhaila Asvadana Chale. For the remaining 12 years he stayed in Jagannath Puri, he taught everyone how to taste the transcendental mellow ecstasy of love of Krishna by tasting it himself. A person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness always feels separation from Krishna because such a feeling of separation excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his last 12 years of existence within this world at Jagannath Puri, taught the people of the world how, with a feeling of separation, one can develop his dormant love of Krishna. Such feelings of separation or meeting with Krishna are different stages of love of Godhead. These feelings develop in time when a person seriously engages in devotional service. The highest stage is called Prema Bhakti, but this stage is attained by executing Sadhana Bhakti. One should not try to elevate himself artificially to the stage of Prema Bhakti without seriously following the regulative principles of Sadhana Bhakti. Prema Bhakti is the stage of relishing, whereas Sadhana Bhakti is the stage of improving in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this cult of devotional service in full detail by practical application in his own life. It is said, therefore, apaniya chari bhakti shikhayu shabare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, and in the role of a Krishna bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, he instructed the entire world how one can execute devotional service and thus go back home, back to God in due course of time. So several subject matters in this particular verse and purport. One, of course, is what we read about when we did the Nectar Devotion Study. In the Nectar Devotion Study, we found that there were various stages of devotional service, beginning with sadhana bhakti. Sadhana means devotional service in practice. You know, so we say to people, how is your sadhana? In other words, how is your practice? And devotional service and practice is divided into two categories, or two branches. One is called devotional service according to the rules and regulations, which is called Vaidhi Bhakti. And the second stage is called Raghunuga Bhakti. In the second stage, one is executing the rules and regulations, still very, very strictly. But one is doing the devotional service, several different things. Spontaneously, one doesn't have to be forced to wake up in the morning, forced to chant their japa. They just want to do it spontaneously. It's not a means to the end anymore. More and more, as they progress in Raghunuga Bhakti, it becomes the end rather than the means to the end. Because the interesting thing about the chanting of Hare Krishna and the different items of bhakti, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, are actually both the means and the goal. That differs from the other platforms of yoga, where the means and the goal are actually different, or you give up the means when you achieve the goal, but not in Krishna consciousness. So in the highest stages of sadhana, that is the stage of Raghunuga, one actually starts to be attached very much to the means, the practice, even though it's still practice. Then at the same time, one begins to have some glimpses of one's spiritual identity and different aspects of one's spiritual identity and who you serve in the spiritual world. And that's done on the internal basis. And you don't really talk about that with anyone else except for Guru Maharaj, because it's very private. It says those sorts of things you should keep hidden in your heart. Just hidden. Because when you don't keep them hidden, then it can become spoiled. It's like, let's say you have some way to make a lot of money, and you reveal to everyone, and it becomes spoiled. You can no longer make a lot of money in that particular way. So therefore, that's the higher stage of sadhana. Then after the higher stage of sadhana, you enter into the mood of bhava bhakti. In bhava bhakti, you actually start to experience these transcendental ecstasies, and I'm not going to get into the whole categorization of the ecstasies, beginning with the vibhav. I think with Sai Bhav and the Santri Bhav and all these other bhavas. And then finally, you come to the stage of Krishna Prema. And in the stage of Krishna Prema, you simply want to please Krishna and your own ecstasies, your liberation, your everything to do with yourself, not really significant. All you're concerned with is Krishna pleased? And if Krishna is pleased, you are willing to go to hell in the highest stages. Now, the intensity of those highest stages of bhakti become increased by the experience of separation. Now, in the material world, there is actual separation. When we're separated from someone, we're not with them. And interestingly enough, and I hate to tell you this, when you're with someone physically, you're not with them. Because you're not the body. I was thinking about that, and I told devotees this morning about this. As I was bathing, taking a bath this morning, or the body, giving the body a bath, I was thinking, this is just a skeleton covered by, you know, some skin and muscles and nerves and everything like that. I don't know if any of you, when you were young, you'd studied anatomy. Not the anatomy of Krishna consciousness, but the anatomy of the body. And when I was young, I had this thing called a visible man. And it was a plastic model. You could take all the organs out and the nervous system and everything like that. I think it was even battery operated. So you could see the heartbeat and the nervous system light up. Very, very interesting. We should get that for everybody. Anyway, so if you have your visible man or visible woman or your blood and, I don't want to say guts, and that's not you. So you get two visible men, visible women, you know, blood and guts, and you put them in the same room. They're not really together. Together means associating spiritually. And of course, devotees can associate spiritually, and they make connection in that way. But on the material platform, there's always a disconnect because people are looking at things from a different angle. Like, let's say you go in to buy something, buy a car, and the salesman is looking at you. Ooh, here's someone who I can cheat. Let me just employ some sales techniques. Hello, Mr. Swami. How are you? Oh, it's been so long. How have you been? How's your health? How's the Swami family? And so he's thinking that, let me just butter this poor sucker up. And you're thinking, he remembers me. He's my old friend. So it may not be so apparent in many relationships, but it's like that. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. And so there's never materially a meeting of minds, so to speak. But spiritually, because you're on the same wavelength, you can have a real connection with other people. So, anyway, so in the material world, it is like that. There's no real connection. And when there's separation, obviously, there's no real connection, even if you go on the internet and have a Zoom conference with someone. But spiritually, when you're with someone, there's a meeting of minds. And when you're not with them, you're thinking of them. They're both spiritualists, and especially with Krishna. You're chanting Krishna's names, feeling separation, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there in the mood of his separation. So you're actually associating with him. And the more intense the emotion is, the more connected you are with the other person. In the material world, it doesn't apply. For example, let me give an example that's really clear. Okay, let's say there is some Bollywood actor, actress, or Hollywood, or rock and roll star, or country and western star, or whatever, and you're just madly in love with him. You're thinking of him 24 hours a day. Oh, Ringo, Ringo. What does Ringo, Ringo mean? That's the name of one of the Beatles. Anyway, he was the drummer in the Beatles. And so you're thinking of him 24 hours a day, thinking, oh, Ringo, or John, or whatever name person they have. And the person doesn't even know you. Doesn't even know you. Who's he? So you have an intense feeling of separation, or intense feeling of whatever, and the person's no connection. So even if the person knows you, it's not that the person has the same feeling. Were you feeling about me? Were you thinking about me last night? I mean, maybe he was thinking about you last night, but it's, you know, you're separate. Unless, of course, you both become ghosts and float together in the netherworld. But that's another subject matter. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya taught that this mood of vipralamba, which means separation, is the highest mood of worship of the Supreme Personality of God. It is higher than the sambandha, the meeting. It's the highest, most intense emotion. Even in the material world, they say separation makes the heart grow fonder. Okay. So let's continue. Ratri divase Krishna virahas purana unmadera chaste kare palapavachana. Day and night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt separation from Krishna, manifesting symptoms of the separation. He cried and talked very inconsistently, like a madman. And some of the things he did were just like, anyway, who can describe them? I mean, one thing he did was that he was feeling so much separation, he started hitting his head against the wall, the place he was staying, the Gambira. So one of the devotees had to actually go there and just sort of be his pillow so that he wouldn't do that. And sometimes, if he wasn't watched after, he would run in the middle of the night, he'd run into the sea, thinking the sea was the Yamuna River. Shri-radara, ashri-radara, palapa, yache, udavadarshane, semata unmada, palapa, kare, ratridhane. As Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently when she met Uddhava, so also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished both day and night such ecstatic talk in the mood of Srimati Radharani. In this connection, one should refer to Srimati Radharani's soliloquy, that means this individual talk, only when she talked. After meeting Uddhava in Vrindavana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented a similar picture of such ecstatic imaginary talking. Full of jealousy and jealousy and madness symptomizing neglect by Krishna, Srimati Radharani criticizing a bumblebee, talked just like a madwoman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the last days of his pastimes, exhibited all the symptoms of such ecstasy. In this connection, one should refer to the fourth chapter of the Adi Leela, verses 107-108. Vidyapati Jayadeva Chandidasiragita Asvadena Ramananda Swarupa Sagita. The Lord used to read the books of Vidyapati Jayadeva and Chandidasa, relishing their songs with his confidential associates like Sri Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodara Goswami. Vidyapati was a famous composer of songs about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He was an inhabitant of Mithila, Born in a Brahmin family, it is calculated that he composed his songs during the reign of King Shivasingha and Queen Lakshma Devi in the beginning of the 14th century of the Shaka era, almost 100 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The 12th generation of Vidyapati's descendants is still living. Vidyapati's songs about the pastimes of Lord Krishna express intense feelings of separation from Krishna, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all those songs in his ecstasy of separation from Krishna. Jayadev was born during the reign of Maharaja Lakshmana Sena of Bengal in the 11th or 12th century of the Shaka era. His father was Bhojadeva and his mother was Vama Devi. For many years he lived in Navadvip, then the capital of Bengal. His birthplace was in the Birbhum district in the village of Kendu Bilba. In the opinion of some authorities, however, he was born in Orissa, and still others say that he was born in southern India. He passed the last days of his life in Jagannath Puri. One of his famous books is Gita Govinda, which is full of transcendental mellow feelings of separation from Krishna. The gopis felt separation from Krishna before the rasa dance, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Gita Govinda expresses such feelings. There are many commentaries on the Gita Govinda by many Vaishnavas. So, a few words about Jayadev's Gita Govinda. In the Gita Govinda, you have the famous Dasa Avatar Shlokas too. That's Keshvadrita Narahari Rupa, etc. That means acknowledging that Krishna has expanded himself as Lord Nrsingadev, as Vamana, as Balaram, as Parashuram, etc. Of course, Lord Ramachandra too. And the Gita Govinda primarily deals with the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And there is one interesting shloka in the Gita Govinda that was a question even by the author of the Gita Govinda, Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev Goswami, he was thinking of this shloka and getting ready to write it and wrote part of it, that Krishna bows down at Radharani's feet. And when Jayadev Goswami thought about that, he thought, this is not possible. How can the Supreme Personality of Godhead bow down at anyone's feet? He's God. So he left his work unfinished, or that particular shloka unfinished, and went to bathe in the Ganges. He came back after some time, after bathing, and he said to his wife, Banapati, where's prasadam? And she said to him, what do you mean, where's prasadam? You already took prasadam. Not only that, you did some writing in your book. And so he was thinking, what? Is my wife crazy? So he went to the book and he found that same shloka that he was thinking of completed about Krishna bowing down and touching Radharani's feet. And it turns out that Krishna took the form of Jayadev Goswami and completed that particular shloka and took prasadam from Jayadev Goswami's wife. Wow. What a story. So this Gita Govinda was very famous. It's been basically translated into many, many different languages, illustrated and published even by the Moguls. The Moguls were the Muslims. There was a king who wasn't a Mogul, he was a Hindu. He didn't think that Jayadev Goswami should get so much adulation for his Gita Govinda, so the king said, I published my own Gita Govinda. It was much better than Jayadev Goswami. So there was some discussion. King of Puri, there was some discussion, you know, who's better. So it was suggested that they would do a test to see which was the actual bona fide Gita Govinda. So they brought two copies, the king's copy and Jayadev Goswami's copy of the Gita Govinda, and placed them at the feet of Lord Jagannath, Jagannath Puri, and just left them there for the night. And so when they woke up in the morning and opened the deities, they saw Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda clasp to the chest of Lord Jagannath. And then they saw the king's Gita Govinda just strewn everywhere. So that was a no-brainer. So that's Jayadev Goswami. So this Gita Govinda is a very, very elevated book, and please wait until you're on a very high stage of devotional service before you read this particular book. And first, wait until you understood all of Srila Prabhupada's books and read them many times. Because there's so much nectar. I'm reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita with all of you for the upteenth time. And I'm hearing things and getting more realization and understanding more things each and every time I read. I can never come to an end of the nectar. So next is Chandidas. Chandidas was born in the village of Nanura, which is also in the Birbhum district of Bengal. He was born of a Brahmin family. And it is said that he also took birth in the beginning of the 14th century Shakabda era. It has been suggested that Chandidas and Vidyapati were great friends because the writings of both expressed the transcendental feelings of separation profusely. The feelings of ecstasy described by Chandidas and Vidyapati were actually exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He relished all those feelings in the role of Srimati Radharani, and his appropriate associates for this purpose were Sri Ramananda Roy and Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami. These intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu helped the Lord very much in the pastimes in which he felt like Radharani. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this connection that such feelings of separation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed from the books of Vidyapati, Chandidasa, and Jayadev are especially reserved for persons like Sri Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. Of course, Sri Ramananda Roy is incarnation of Vishakha, generally accepted, and Swarup Damodar is incarnation of Lalita, who are Paramahamsa's men of the topmost perfection because of their advanced spiritual consciousness. Such topics are not to be discussed by ordinary persons imitating the activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For critical students of mundane poetry and literary men without God consciousness who are after bodily sense gratification, there is no need to reach such high standard of transcendental literature. Persons who are after sense gratification should not try to imitate Raghunuga devotional service. The songs of Chandidas, Vidyapati, and Jayadev describe the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mundane reviewers of these songs simply help people in general become devachis, and this leads only to social scandals and atheism in the world. One should not misunderstand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to be the activities of a mundane young boy and girl. The mundane sexual activities of young boys and girls are most abominable. Therefore, those who are in bodily consciousness and desire sense gratification are forbidden to indulge in discussions of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. Krishnara viyogi yatta prema cheshtita Ashvadya Purna Kaila Apana Vanchita. In separation from Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these ecstatic activities, and thus he fulfilled his own desires. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to taste the feelings Radharani felt upon seeing Krishna. Krishna himself could not understand the ecstatic feelings of Radharani toward him, and therefore he desired to accept the role of Radharani and thereby taste these feelings. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the feelings of Radharani. In other words, he is a combination of Radha and Krishna. It is therefore said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. They're one. By worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone, one can relish loving affairs of Radha and Krishna together. One should therefore try to understand Radha Krishna not directly, but through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through his devotees. Srila Narottama Das Thakur therefore says, Rupa Raghunath Padi Hai Bhai Okuti Kabe Hama Pujava Se Yugala Pirti. When shall I develop a mentality of service towards Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and thus become eligible to understand the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna, because that eligibility is called in Sanskrit adhikar. One has the right at a certain point. And also, as they say, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Ananta Chaitanya Lila Kshudra Jivahana Kevarnite Pare Tahavishtara Kariya. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are unlimited. How much can a small living entity elaborate about those transcendental pastimes? sutrakarigane yadiyapanayananta sahasravadaneteno nahi payahanta. If Seshanaga Ananta personally were to make the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya into sutras, even with his thousands of mouths, there is no possibility that he could find their limit. Namadara Srupahara Gupta Murari Mukya Mukya Lila Sutre Likiyache Vichari. Devotees like Sri Surup Damodar and Murari Gupta have recorded all the principal pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in the form of notes after deliberate consideration. Lila Sutra Gana Vistare Vaniya Chena Tahadasa Vrindavana. The notes kept by Sri Surup Damodar and Murari Gupta are the basis of this book. Following those notes, I write of all the pastimes of the Lord. The notes have been described elaborately by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Chaitanya Leela Ravyasa Dasa Vrindavana Madhura Kariya Leela Karila Rachana. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, the authorized writer of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is as good as Srila Vyasadeva. He's described the pastimes in such a way as to make them sweeter and sweeter. Grandavistara bhai chadila yaye stana se stana kichu kariba vyakina. Being afraid of his books becoming too voluminous, he left some places without vivid descriptions. I shall try to fill those places as far as possible. Prabhura lilamrita tenho kailashvadana tanra bhokta shesha kichu kariye charvana. The transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have actually been relished by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. I'm simply trying to chew the remnants of food left by him. Ari Lila Sutras Liki Shuna Bhakta Gana Sangshepi Likiye Samyakna Yaya Likana. My dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya, let me now write a synopsis of the Ari Lila. I will write of these pastimes in brief because it's not possible to describe them in full. Konavancha Purna Lagi Vajendra Kumara Vatirna Haite Mana Karila Vichara. To fulfill a particular desire within his mind, Lord Krishna Vrajendra Kumara decided to descend to this planet after mature contemplation. Age Avatari La Ye Guru Parivara Sangshepe Kaye Kahana Yaya Vistara. Lord Krishna, therefore, first allowed his family of superiors to descend to the earth. I shall try to describe them in brief because it is not possible to describe them fully. Sri Sachi Jagannatha Sri Madhava Puri Keshva Bharati Hara Sri Ishwara Puri Advaita Charya Hara Pandita Shivasa Acharya Ratna Vidyanidhi Thakura Haridasa. Lord Sri Krishna, before appearing as Lord Chaitanya, requested those devotees to precede him. Sri Sachi Devi, that's his mother, Jagannath Mishra, his father, Madhavendra Puri, grandfather, spiritual master, Keshava Bharati, Sannyas Guru, Ishwara Puri, his guru, Advaita Acharya, who we just read about, Srivas Pandit, Acharya Ratna, Vijayanidhi, and Thakur Haridas, that's Haridas Thakur. Sri Hatanivasi Sri Upendra Mishra Nama Vaishnava Pandita Dhani Sadguna Pradhana. There was also Sri Upendra Mishra, a resident of the district of Sri Hata. He was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, a learned scholar, a rich man, and a reservoir of all good qualities. Upendra Mishra is described in the Gauragana Deshtipika as the Gopala named Parijanya. The same personality who was formerly the grandfather of Lord Krishna appeared as Upendra Mishra at Sri Hata and begot seven sons. He was a resident of Dhaka Dakshina Gram in the district of Sri Hata. There are still many residents of that part of the country who introduced themselves as belonging to the Mishra family of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sapta Mishra Tanraputra means seven sons. Sapta Rishishvara Kamsari Paramananda Padmanabha Sarveshvara. Jagannatha Janardana Trilokyanatha Andiyati Gangavasa Kaila Jagannath. Upendra Mishra had seven sons who were all saintly and most influential: Kamsari, Paramananda, Padmanabha, Sarveshvara Jagannatha Janardana, and Trilokyanatha. Jagannatha Mishra, the fifth son, decided to reside on the bank of the Ganges at Nadia. That's Navadweep. Jagannatha Mishra, Mishravara Padavi Purandara, Nanda Vasudeva Rupa Sadguna Sagara. Jagannatha Mishra was designated as Purandara, exactly like Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva. He was an ocean of all good qualities. Tandra Patni Shachi Nama Pativrata Sati Yandra Pitta Nilambara Nama Chakravarti. His wife Srimati Sachi Devi was a chaste woman, highly devoted to her husband. Sachi Devi's father's name was Nilambara and his surname was Chakravarti. So Prabhupada explains that Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasha, in the Gauranga Deshdipika, it is mentioned that Nilambara Chakravarti was formerly Gargamuni. Some of the family descendants of Nilambara Chakravarti still live in the village of the name Moghduwa in the district of Faridpur in Bangladesh. His nephew was Jagannath Chakravarti, also known as Mamu Thakur, who became a disciple of Pandita Goswami and stayed at Jagannath Puri as the priest of Tota Gopinath. We've read about him before. Nilambara Chakravarti lived at Navadweep in the neighborhood of Bela Pukuriya. This fact is mentioned in the book Prema Vilas because he lived near the house of the Kazi. The Kazi was also considered one of the maternal uncles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Kazi used to address Nilambara Chakravarti as Kaka or uncle. One cannot separate the residence of the Kazi from Vamanapukura because the tomb of the Kazi is still existing there. Formerly, the place was known as Bela Pukuriya, and now it is called Vamanapukura. This has been ascertained by archaeological evidence. So, Radhadeshi Janmila Thakura Nityananda Gangadasa Pandita Gupta Murari Mukunda. In Radhadesh, the part of Bengal where the Ganges is not visible, Nityananda Prabhu, Gangadasa Pandit, Murari Gupta, and Mukunda took birth. Here, Radhadeshe refers to the village of the name Ekachakra in the district of Birbhum near Burdwan. After the Burdwan railway station, there is another branch line which is called the Loop Line of the Eastern Railway, and there is a railway station of the name Malarapura. 8 miles east of this railway station, Ekachakra village is still situated. Ekachakra village extends north and south for an area of about 8 miles. Other villages, namely Virachandrapura and Virbhadrapuri, are situated within the area of the village of Ekachakra. In honor of the holy name of Virabhadra Goswami, these places are renowned as Virachandrapura and Virbhadrapura. Of course, that's the son of Lord Nityananda. In the Bengali year 1331, that's AD 1924, a thunderbolt struck the temple of Ekachakra Gram. Therefore, the temple is now in a broken state. Before this, there were no such accidents in that quarter. Within the temple, there is a deity of Sri Krishna established by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The name of the deity is Bankimarai or Bankaraya. On Bankimarai's right side is a deity of Janava, and on his left side is Srimati Radharani. And that's the same as in the Gopinath temple at Radhakund, which is really interesting. The priest of the temple described that Lord Nityananda Prabhu entered within the body of Bankimarai and that the deity of Janava Mata was therefore later placed on the right side of Bankimarai. Afterwards, many other deities were installed within the temple. On another throne within the temple are deities of Murli Dara and Radha Madhava. Another throne are deities of Mano Mohana, Vrindavana Chandra, and Gora Nitai. But Bankimarai is the deity originally installed by Nityananda Prabhu. On the eastern side of the temple is a ghat known as the Kadamba Kandi on the bank of the river called the Yamuna, and it is said that the deity of Bankimarai was floating in the water, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and then installed him in the temple. Thereafter, in a place known as Badalpur, in the village of Virachandrapur, about half a mile west, in a place underneath a neem tree, Srimati Radharani was found. Wow. For this reason, the Radharani of Vankmi Roy was known as Badapurera Thakurani, the mistress of Badapura. On another throne on the right side of Vankmi Roy is the deity of Yogamaya. Now the temple and temple corridor rest on a high plinth, and on a concrete structure in front of the temple is a kirtan hall. It is also said on the northern side of the temple there was a deity of Lord Shiva named Bandishvara, and that the father of Nityananda Prabhu, Hadai Pandit, used to worship that deity. At present, however, the Bandishvara deity is missing, and in his place the Jagannath Swami deity has been installed. Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not factually construct any temples. The temple was constructed at the time of Virabhadra Prabhu in the Bengali year 1298, that's AD 1891. A brahmacharya of the name Shivananda Swami repaired the temple, for it had become dilapidated. In this temple, there's an arrangement to offer food to the deity on the basis of 17 seers. That means 34 pounds of rice and necessary vegetables. The present priestly order of the temple belongs to the family of Gopi Janabalava Ananda, one of the branches of Nityananda Prabhu. There's a land settlement in the name of the temple, and income from this land finances the expenditures of the temple. There are three parties of priestly Goswamis who take charge of the temple management, one after the other. A few steps from the temple is a place known as Vishramatala, where it is said that Nityananda Prabhu in his childhood used to enjoy sporting with his boyfriends by enacting the Rasa Leela and various other pastimes of Vrindavan, also Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Near the temple is a place named Imlitala, which is so named because of the big tamarind tree there. According to a party named the Nedadi Sampradaya, Virabhadra Prabhu, with the assistance of 1,200 Nidas, Buddhist monks, dug a great lake of the name Shweta Ganga. Outside of the temple are tombs of the Goswamis, and there is a small river known as Modeshwara, which is called the water of Yamuna. Within half a mile from the small river is the birthplace of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. It appears that there was a big kirtan hall in front of the temple. It later became dilapidated. It is now covered by banyan trees. Later on, a temple was constructed within which Gornatai deities are existing. The temple was constructed by the late Prasanna Kumara Kadapurma. A tablet was installed in his memory in the Bengali year 1323, AD 1916, in the month of Vaishaka, April, May. The place where Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared is called Gorbhavasa. There's an allotment of 43 bigas, 14 acres, of land to continue the worship in a temple there. The Maharaja of Dinajapura donated 20 bigas of land, about 6.5 acres. Interesting in this connection. It is said that near the place known as Gorbhavasa, Hadai Pandit constructed a primary school. The priests of this place listed in genealogical table were as follows. Sri Raghavachandra, Jagadananda, Krishnadasa, Nityananda Dasa, Ramadasa, Vrajamohana Dasa, Kanai Dasa, Goradasa, Shivananda Dasa, and Haridasa. Krishnadasa belonged to the Chidiya Kunja at Vrindavana. The date of his disappearance is Krishna Janmashtami. Chijakunja is a place now managed by the Goswamis of Sringaragat in Vrindavan. They are also known as belonging to the Nityananda family, which most probably on the basis of a relationship with Krishnadas. Near Gorbhavasa is a place called Bukulatala, where Sri Nityananda Prabhu and his boyfriends used to take part in sporting activities known as Jala Japita. There's a Bukula tree there that is wonderful because all its branches and sub-branches look like the hoods of serpents. It has been suggested that by the desire of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Ananta Deva manifested himself in that way. The tree is very old. It is said that formerly it had two trunks, but later on, when the playmates of Nityananda Prabhu felt inconvenience in jumping from the branches of one trunk to those of the other, Nityananda Prabhu, by his mercy, merged the two trunks into one. Another place nearby is called Huntu Gada. It is said that Lord Nityananda Prabhu brought all the holy places there. Therefore, the people in the surrounding villages go there instead of to the Ganges to take bath. It is named Hantu Gada because Srila Nityananda Prabhu used to perform the Dharichitta festival, distributing chip rice with yogurt prasadam there, and he took the prasadam kneeling down. A sanctified lake in this place is always full of water throughout the year. A great fair is held there during Goshtashtami, and there's another big fair on the birthday of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gauranga Deshtipika, it is described that Halayuda, Baladeva, Vishwarupa, and Sankarsana appeared as Nityananda Avaduta. So, Balaram Poidlin Natsai. So, Balaram and his various expansions appeared as Lord Nityananda. So, we will end our reading today. I want to write this down. Hold on a second. We ended on the 61st verse. So, today we went from 31 to 61 in the 13th chapter. Got it. Okay. So, now we'll just have a few minutes to allow the devotees to ask some questions. So some new devotees or devotees who haven't asked questions should ask questions now. Let me just unmute you. Give me 1 second. All right. Participants can now unmute yourselves. So some devotees who don't normally ask questions, please speak now. And of course, it was very wonderful, ecstatic, amazing to read about Lord Nityananda's place. And one day we hope to see
Prudev.
It. Yeah, all right, Jagat, you have a question?
Yes. How widespread was Krishna worship before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how far back does it go before it was unmanifest?
Krishna worship is going back.
I mean Radha Krishna worship.
Oh, Radha Krishna worship. In some of the sampradayas, it was extant, like the Rudra Sampradaya, Nimbarka. In the Madhva Sampradaya, Madhvacharya Sampradaya, it wasn't so much prominent, the worship of Krishna, of Radharani, sorry. And also in the Sri Sampradaya, they worship Lakshmi. So, but the worship of Radha and Krishna goes back very, very far. And in fact, you'll find information in the Upanishads about Srimati Radharani. So in one sense, it was generally Gupta or hidden for most people until Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Of course, in the Bhagavatam, it's obviously there, but Radharani's name is not directly mentioned. Radharani's name is indirectly mentioned as she who worships, or she who worships Krishna. And the reason explained by the Acharyas is that if Shukadeva Goswami had mentioned Radharani's name directly to Pariksit Maharaj, he would have been so much ecstasy that he wouldn't have been able to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in any case, it was not so prominent, the worship of Radha and Krishna, at least so widely known, although amongst those who understood the esoteric knowledge in the Vedic literatures, it was known, but it wasn't so widely known until the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does that answer your question? I mean,
yes.
Madhavan Kauri knew about it, Jayadeva Goswami knew about it. You know, obviously Jayadeva Goswami wrote about it centuries before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chandidas, Vidyapati.
We don't know about the sampradayas of Chandidas and Jayadeva Goswami.
I think we have to research that particular information. I don't have the information in front of me right now. When in doubt, Google it. And there may be information or may not be information about that. In the Navadvip Da Mahatmya, we actually find, that's written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how the different acharyas had revealed to them secretly information about Radha and Krishna, And they were told not to really broadcast that information until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented himself. And they were actually revealed to them about Lord Chaitanya. So, I mean, there is plenty of information in the Vedic literatures. Like I said, even in the Upanishads, what to speak of the Bhagavatam, some of the other Puranas, there's direct reference of to Srimati Radharani. But it was basically left up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to broadcast that knowledge widely so that everybody could understand it. Although it was not something that he just came up with. Okay?
Yes.
Good question. So I think Madhava has a question.
Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. So, yeah, so I think when you're describing Jayadeva Goswami, of course, he appeared maybe 200 to 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as you said, he was talking about Radha Krishna, of course, that worship that means has been going known for a long time. One question, when we were reading about him, that he was in Bengal and then Odisha and then South India, but to see that, I don't know if you know or are aware of, does he have any composition either in Bengali language or an Oriya language?
Well, the interesting thing is that actually Orissa was far larger than it is today. That Orissa and most of Bengal were actually part of one state at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jayadeva Goswami, let me just, I'm just going to look this up while we're talking.
Yeah, because I was thinking that I think if he has no composition in either of the languages, then maybe I think more South India, and he migrated to, as you say, Orissa, big maybe to Jagannath.
Well, he was, see, the point is, I'm just remembering this. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Jayadeva Goswami was quite educated, so all of his writing was in Sanskrit.
Yes, that's why I see that most of the these days after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before that, every actually devotee in that line always wrote something in Bengali that tells me that they certainly were born in Bengal. That's why Jayadeva Goswami, that's why I was asking, because if he was Sanskrit only composition, then probably more towards South India he was born, and thus that's what my guess. I'm just kind of, that's why I was asking this question. Has he got any composition in Oriya or Bengali language?
I don't have any information about that. I mean, as I did read before, that he was the court pundit in serving Lakshmana Sen, the king of Bengal. So there's indication that he was situated in Bengal. And obviously, if he was the court pundit of King Lakshmana Sen, he had to speak Bengali. I mean, this is obvious. You know, wherever he appeared, he appeared. But it, as I mentioned before, Orissa was actually far larger than it is today. I remember I was talking to one historian while I was doing my South India tour. We had just left Calcutta, and he described that Orissa basically went all the way up to Calcutta, maybe beyond that at that particular point. So there seems to be a mixture of the Bengali and Orient culture, at least at that time. And we do find here, even talking about South India and Orissa, we do find that King Prataparudra, who was basically the king of Jagannath Puri, his kingdom extended at least to modern-day Chennai, which is South India.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, you know, Orissa, because Because Ramananda Roy was actually the governor of, you know, Madras or Chennai.
Right.
So Orissa actually extended all the way, you know, so to separate South India from, I mean, because Orissa, I mean, Chennai is generally accepted as at least the beginning of South India. I mean, it is South India. It's Tamil Nadu now.
Yeah.
And it's right, Chennai is right on the border of Andhra Pradesh, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Orissa extending throughout Andhra Pradesh into Chennai, present-day Chennai, and then Orissa also extending on the other hand, you know, all the way going up to Calcutta, or even maybe further north, because of the king at that particular time. So I think one would have to study geography, but it seems to me that the cultures and the places were rather mixed. Because if you say the state of Orissa, it actually probably means a lot more than what we consider to be the state of Orissa nowadays. Yeah, all the way to Chennai, which is South India, all the way to Bengal, which is, you know, northern.
Yeah, because the modern division came when India became independent, then the boundaries were drawn differently. And you are right, ancient time, kings were, wherever they ruled, that was that kingdom. So certainly extending up to, in old times, up to even Chennai, but which is now in Tamil Nadu. But yeah, I think that boundary is different now, what it must have been
when different kings were ruled.
Yeah,
it was obviously different because
yes,
you know, Orissa included Chennai, so
yes.
So it was obviously the boundaries were completely different. So anyway, so they're different than modern boundaries in India.
Yes, Maharaj.
And all these educated personalities, we're talking about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, for example, they spoke many different languages, and they could write in many languages. Like it's described that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they spoke Parsi, they spoke Sanskrit. You know, Parsi is like the Iranian language. They spoke Arabic. I mean, these are, I don't, what to speak of Sanskrit. I mean, these were highly, highly, highly educated personalities. And I think anybody who's able to write poetry like Jayadeva Goswami did in Sanskrit is a highly educated personality.
Yeah.
And they're obviously able to speak many different languages. But I don't find information of Jayadeva Goswami. Perhaps he did write poetry in other languages. I mean, I could look that up, but his Gita Govinda is well known because it's in Sanskrit.
Right.
And the Goswamis generally wrote in Sanskrit too.
Right.
The six Goswamis generally wrote their works, like the works of Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, like the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and other books were written in Sanskrit, generally in Sanskrit. This was, you know, this is the language of the educated people.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Vedic language.
It's interesting, the Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, their family originally came from South India.
Yeah.
But they were born actually in Bengal. But they were from, I believe it was Saraswata Brahmin families, which is a South Indian Brahmin family. And but still, their native language was Bengali, because they were born in Bengal. It's interesting. And anyway, we'll have to look that up to see if Jayadeva wrote any poetry in any other language. I mean, I'm sure that if he lived in Jagannathpur, he also spoke Orion.
Yes, I'm sure.
And if he lived in Bengal near the, and he was the court minister, then he also spoke Bengali. So I'm sure he spoke both languages fluently, because he functioned in both places as well as Sanskrit. So perhaps someone could look up that information later on for us. Okay, good questions. So one other person has a question, someone who hasn't asked a question in a long time. I see Pran Govinda looks very sad. Good, I have...
No.
All right, I'll give you a chance. Since you're so sad, I feel so sorry.
No, Maharaj, I'm not sad. I'm just happy to hear your conversation. But just to add to your information, Maharaj, actually Prabhupada commented about where Mayapur Chandradoy Mandir is.
Yeah.
Jananivas Prabhu, when I was talking to him recently, he mentioned that actually the TOBP main center is actually where Jayadev Goswami made his kutir. And he would go to Ganges every day and take bath.
Wow.
So he was staying there.
Yeah, he stayed in Bengal while he was writing the Gita Govinda.
And he was born also in Birbhum.
Birbhum,
for
yeah.
sure. It's recorded in Bengal. Birbhum is in Bengal.
Yeah, but Prabhupada says in the purport that some people say he was born anyway.
Orissa.
In Orissa. So, but the point I made was that Orissa extended all the way into Bengal.
That is true, Maharaj. So, Medinapur was under Orissa, and at certain point during British time, it came back to Bengal again.
Yeah,
I don't know how the whole history.
Yeah, so the boundaries of Bengal and Orissa were quite different than the boundaries that we have today. Thanks to the British.
Maharaj, can I ask you a technical question?
Quickly, because it's almost time. Yeah.
Okay, you read very nicely. You explain also that how the purpose of sadhana to come to bhava and then prem.
Right.
Where does the Kripa Siddha applies in this? Do they have to do sadhana? What is Kripa Siddha boils down to awakening the bhava?
Kripa Siddha means that you still have to do sadhana. Unless you get some special Kripa by pleasing some great personality. But generally, you get the mercy, but you have to accept the mercy. Like if a pure devotee says, chant Hare Krishna, and you say, no, I just want the mercy. That is the mercy. There are exceptions. I mean, obviously, there are exceptions like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dog who went back to Godhead. I mean, that's definitely a very exceptional case where Lord Chaitanya had a puppy, you know that story, and the puppy went back to God. And then also, the dog of Shivananda Sen went back to God. But I, it's hard to think of any case where any devotee, other than some animals, went back to Godhead without following some instruction of a great personality.
Maharaj, in practical reality, I would not say the name. Some of your god brother and god sister, we had a long discussion in Alachua one day.
Yeah.
And the issue came that Prabhupada gave mercy. We really don't have to do severe sadhana. We just got accepted by Prabhupada and we love him. That's it. That's enough for us.
And that is B-O-G-U-S.
Well, you can say it. I cannot say that.
I can say it. If someone makes that statement, Prabhupada gave me him mercy, and I don't have to do anything because Prabhupada's taking me back to Godhead, that is bogus.
Okay.
That is bogus. I mean, then one is offending Prabhupada because Prabhupada's mercy is his instructions. I mean, that's like the Christians who say that or the Catholics who used to say that if you purchased basically an indulgence or paid a certain amount of money, you go back to Godhead no matter what other damn thing you did.
Hmm.
Some devotee said he's a dog here. Anyway, I'm not criticizing any devotee. I'm just saying it's bogus to say, I got Prabhupada's mercy. I really don't have to chant or do anything, and I'll go back to Godhead. Bogus. completely bogus, bogusissimo. Okay, on that happy note, we're going to end right now. See everybody tomorrow night, same time, same station. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.